Glad to have everyone with us here this morning. As you can probably tell, we're going to be talking about this parable that Justin just so aptly read for us in Luke chapter 13, the parable of the barren fig tree. When we think of a parable and what that word means, the word parable is a place or means a placing beside. It's akin to parabolo, or to throw or lay beside, to compare. It signifies placing of one thing beside another with a view of comparison. And it's generally used of a somewhat lengthy utterance or a narrative narrative drawn from nature or human circumstances, the object of which is to set forth a spiritual lesson. That comes from Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words. Thayer's Greek English Lexicon says of the word parable, specifically a narrative, fictitious but agreeable to the laws and usages of human life, by which either the duties of men or the things of God, particularly the nature and history of God's kingdom, are figuratively portrayed. And friends, when we look at the teachings of Jesus, when we look through the gospel accounts of the New Testament, we will find that approximately one-third of Jesus' teachings were in parabolic form. And he gives the purposes of parables, number one, to reveal truth to inquiring minds that wanted to know. And number two, to conceal truth from those that were not truly interested. We look in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 10, and we read, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." Friends, we must keep the context in mind when we study such things, such as these parables. Context is important to figure out exactly what Jesus is trying to portray when he gives these parables. And so we must ask the question, what is the context in which we find this parable, the parable of the barren fig tree? Well, we find that Jesus, in chapter 15, 1 through 5, was teaching about the events of life and what causes them. And so he's able to go through in these parables a couple of chapters beforehand. And in that context, same type of context, give us this parable. And so he enters into this part here of this parable of the barren fig tree. Now, who was to blame for Judah's rebellion against the Messiah? We can blame really no one else but Judah. Had God done something to cause that rebellion by the Jews? Friends, when we look at the case of the gospel accounts and we see Jesus and his ministry that 3.5 years upon this earth as he began preaching for that amount of time, he was received widely, and then toward the end of his ministry, he began to be rejected. And so when we look at what was the cause of that, it seems that it was pride, especially among the scribes and the Pharisees. We read of several of those that they believed upon him, but because of fear that they would be cast out of the synagogues, they never confessed his name. Friends, many today will blame God either advertently or inadvertently for their problems. Friends, God was not to blame. The Jews themselves were. And so let's notice what is seen in this parable of the barren fig tree. First of all, friends, we notice that there was the property of a certain man. The property of a certain man. Notice again Luke 13 and verse 6. "He spake also this parable a certain man had a fig tree. Friends, this certain man represents God, the owner of the vineyard and the owner of Judah, represented there by the fig tree. We read in Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now I'll go too. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is a house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." Friends, just so. God is the owner of every man by virtue of being man's creator. Notice Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was." But don't miss the last part. "And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Friends, do we understand that God is our owner? That we owe our very lives to Him? And as such, we ought to live our lives for Him. We see the owner of the vineyard. We look, number two, and in this parable we see this fig tree was prepared in a certain fashion. Again, going back to verse 6, we read these words. "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree," notice, planted. "And so it was prepared in a certain fashion." Friends, God had prepared them to be the people, that is Judah, to be the people through whom His Son would come. And as such, they would be the first recipients of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel was to go forth from Jerusalem. Of course, Judah inhabited Jerusalem. And so they would be the first to receive that gospel. In Acts 1 and verse 8, we read, "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Notice the order here. The gospel would start where? Jerusalem. They were to go from Jerusalem into all of Judea. They were to preach the gospel first unto the Jews. And then for 3.5 years it goes exclusively to the Jews. For the next 3.5 years they begin to speak to the Samaritans. See, the gospel went to Samaria. And then from there in Acts chapter 10 we find finally the gospel going unto the Gentiles with Cornelius. Preparing them for that. Friends, He planted them in a fertile place. In a fertile place. And promised them a favorable position if they would obey His will. Notice with me Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. The Hebrews writer writes there, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Friends, do we understand
what God is saying here, what Jesus is saying here. The Jews had a privilege of being the first to receive the gospel. What does that mean to us today? What are we to take away from that? Friends, even that being the case, we are not children of chance. In becoming Christians, we were planted in His vineyard through our baptism into Him. In Acts 2 and verse 47, we read, praising God. Who was? The Christians were. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. To whom is Paul writing? Gentiles that had obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 6, verses 4 and 5, we read, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that we, like as Christ, was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Matthew 15 and verse 13. Notice what Jesus says here. But He answered and said, every plant which My heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Friends, we have been planted in baptism into His vineyard. But notice, as we said, prepared in a certain way. Number three, that fig tree was planted in a certain place. Again, in verse 6 of chapter 13, we read, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. You see, friends, among the things promised to the descendants of Abraham was land. The land in which they would settle and be made ready for the coming of the Messiah. We'll read of that promise in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. When we read there, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, or I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. How are all families of the earth to be blessed, friend? That came through Jesus Christ. Right there is the promise again of the Messiah coming. That land was given to them, and that land promise was fulfilled. Some would have us to believe that that land promise has not yet been fulfilled. But notice with me Joshua 23 and verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass, and not one thing hath failed thereof. We go down to verse 16, and we read there, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which He hath given unto you. We put these two verses together, friends, and what do we find? The land promise had been fulfilled. It had been given unto them. Friends, in like fashion, just as they had been planted there, in that land there of opportunity, that land of promise that God had given them, every Christian has been planted in His vineyard. So what does that mean for us, friends? We must be planted in His church. Every Christian has been planted in His church, His kingdom, that which was purchased by His blood. There are not many vineyards, but one. God is its keeper, and Christ its vine. We are the branches. Christ says as much in John 15, verses 1 through 5, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Are we abiding in the vine? Planted in a certain place, presumed to be a certain way. Again, notice verse 6 of Luke 13. Again, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and, notice, sought fruit thereon. He had an expectation of that tree. He expected that if he planted it, and he planted it in the right place, that it was going to bring forth fruit. He expected it to be so. He had that expectation from it. Friends, it was indeed a fruit tree. It was planted in a fertile place, and it received the proper care. It should have borne fruit, but none was forthcoming. As such, Judah should have borne much fruit. But the Lord says of it, it was barren. Friends, likewise, God expects each of us to be fruit producers. In Matthew 7 and verse 19, the Lord says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What does that tell us? Friends, if we're not bearing fruit in the Lord's kingdom, if we're not bearing fruit in His vineyard, what hope do we have? For the Lord Himself said, every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down. And what's done with it? Cast into the fire. It's to be burned. In John 15 and verse 8, wrapping up there that parable that He gave concerning the vine, He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Friends, how do we know that a person is a Christian? It's by the fruit that he bears. Are we bearing fruit in the vineyard of the Lord? Some may be more favorably situated than others. In other words, some may have more ability. Some may have more opportunity than others. But friends, the point is, concerning this parable, concerning this fig tree, concerning you and I, is that all can and must produce fruit. Else we will be cut off. But notice now that the owner of this vineyard is going to be perplexed by a certain condition. In Luke 13, verse 6, going into the first part of verse 7, we read that, and into verse 6, and sought fruit thereon, and found none. And found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Some ascribe the 3 years to the time of the Lord's personal ministry on the earth. Others maintain that it's symbolic of the attempts to reach the Jews through the law, the prophets, and the Christ. The Jews as a whole, whatever the case, were not convinced by all of these. Even though the law and the prophets spoke of Christ, even though over 300 prophecies concerning His birth and His life were fulfilled, even though they spoke of Him, even though those prophecies were fulfilled and He Himself taught them and urged them and pleaded with them during His time on earth, they still rejected Him.
That which should have brought forth much fruit was actually fruitless. And that leaves us with our question this morning. What will the Lord find with us when He returns? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, when we look at the parable of the fig tree, we see the property of a certain man. The fig tree was prepared in a certain fashion. It was planted in a certain place. It was presumed to be a certain way, friends, but the owner was found to be perplexed by a certain condition. We're going to conclude the sermon tonight. We want to invite everyone to be back to hear the conclusion of that. But notice a few more things about this barren fig tree. Friends, we're left with a very important question right here. What will the Lord find with us when He returns? Will He find us bearing fruit, friends, or will He find us barren? Having no fruit. What will your case be? Would you be planted in the vineyard of our Lord and Savior? If you would be planted this morning in His vineyard, friends, all you must do is found in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. He tells us there that we must believe on Him and who He is, who He said that He is, and what He did for us, that He died upon that cross for the remission of our sins. Friend, are you willing to repent? Are you willing to confess His name this very morning and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins? That's what His Word tells us to do if we would receive salvation, if we would bear fruit. Friend, are you here this morning having done those things? Have you failed to bear fruit? Would you change that this morning? Would you come home? If you have a need, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?